Jesus. On a royal telephone tour, we thank God tonight for being in the house of prayer. We thank God for being in the house of the Lord. We thank God for those that had the mind to brave the stormy weather. That was yesterday. But nevertheless, God is still good. We just thank God, amen, for a mind to be faithful. We don't care what the numbers are. Our desire is for us to be faithful to God. Can we say amen? And so as I said on Sunday, we want to go over Window on Sunday in a little more depth, you know, because we're living in such a time where there's so much unpredictability. Things are changing on a daily basis. Amen. The devil has an agenda, and he is definitely pushing it. And saints are allowing him to beat them up. Amen. We need to get to the point where we put our faith and our trust solely in God. That's why our theme is trust in the Lord and give him what? All of you. Amen. I can't say why people aren't here. I know there are some that are out there sick. Amen. But I can't, and I know some had to work because I did get some text from work. But people are allowing so many things to influence them. It's so sad. We only come to church a little bit. You try to figure out, why do you take time off on everything, but don't take time off on God? Because people, when they're in need, they want God to be right there. Amen. But they don't want to be there for the Lord. But nevertheless, we just thank God for those who have a mind to be faithful. And one of the most important things about being saved is God knows what's really going on with all of us. He knows the real reasons. There's nothing that we can hide from God because he's acquainted with what? All of our ways. Yes. Amen. So before we even make up an excuse, God already knew it was there. So God knows the truth. But nevertheless, we just thank God for his faithfulness, his kindness, and his goodness. Amen. We thank God for my wife, pressing our way. We thank God for all of you that are here tonight. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So we're going to continue our Bible study from Sunday. I'm just going to read the first 8 verses of Deuteronomy 31. 8, I don't have those separately, but if you have your Bibles, you can turn to it. Deuteronomy 31, I'm going to read verses 2 through 8 of Deuteronomy 31. Did I say I did that? Deuteronomy 30, I'll pull the books. Read 31, verse 20 and 30. We're going to start Deuteronomy 31 and verse 1. You got to go down, click on the one. There you go. So we can let's read this together. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord has said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did unto Sihon and to Og, king of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be, Lord, thank God for strength. Be strong and of what?
Good courage.
Fear not. So you see, strong courage are the opposite of what? Fear. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and what? He repeats verse 6 again. Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, thank you, Jesus, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee, Fear not, neither be dismayed. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word, and the church said,
word of the Lord, bless you.
Already. Amen. So let's, we're going to go to our notes. Actually, we'll start in verse 6. I think that'll be page 1 of your notes. It'll be page 2 of our notes. We're going to start just with verse 6. We've already read those scriptures. Amen. So Israel is about to embark on a new journey, just like many of us. Every day is really a new journey. And the only thing that can get us through our journey is our dependency upon God. As Scripture said, not by might, nor by power, but by what? His Spirit. Scripture said, by might shall no man prevail. So our help, our strength comes from God. So Moses realized that he's dealt with them for over 40 years in the wilderness. He realized how stubborn and hard-headed they could be, and stiff-necked, the Bible says. So he realized in order for Joshua to lead the people, he had to have strength and courage. We're living in a day and time where people just don't have strength or courage anymore. They succumb to everything. But every day we live, especially with these changing times, we're embarking upon a new day, a new journey. Actually, we don't like to use the fear tactic, but they claim that Russia has an EMP, which is one of those low sensory things, which they can shut down the whole United States. They can send this low EMP, which is one of those low signals, like a frequency signal, and shut down the whole United States. And they perfected it. But we don't live in fear, because the scripture said, I was young and now what? Old. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. But there was a time when the church didn't get so rattled by circumstances. But the church is more rattled than the world today, because they've lost their dependency on God. So he said, listen, you're about to go into a new phase of your life. You're about to go into a new change. You're about to go into the promise. He said, you have to be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that what? He go with thee. And as I said on Sunday, one of the most important things is not that we take people with us. Whatever we do, we want to make sure the Lord is with us. Can we say amen? He said, he will not what? Fail thee, nor forsake thee. God is very clear about not failing or forsaking us. He wants us to see how important his promise is, so he doubles it up. When he says fail or forsake, that's doubling up the promise. God said, you can depend on me. I won't fail you. And when things get bad, he said, I will not forsake thee. He repeats this again to Joshua in Joshua 1:5. Said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with. This is the Lord speaking to Joshua now. He's reinforcing what Moses said, because he realized the challenge ahead of him was great. As it is with many of us, the challenge is great, and by might shall no man prevail. So the Lord is reinforcing what Moses said, just to let Joshua know, you got to have strength and courage. There's a whole lot of strong people, but they have no courage. In the face of adversity, they quit. And the scripture says, if you faint in the day of adversity, that means what? Your strength is small. So we don't want to quit. So God is repeating to Joshua what Moses had said. And God said, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not, nor God keeps doubling this promise. Amen. And we live in a time where people are getting angry with God and act like God has messed them up. God will never fail us. God will never forsake us, no matter what the outcome looks like. Amen. 1 Chronicles 28:20. And David said to Solomon his son, be what? Strong and courage. Now, Solomon was about to take over the leadership as king of Israel. David had his down, but he realized, unless you have strength and courage, you cannot lead. And so many people are trying to lead God's people, they have no strength, and they have no courage. So David repeats the psalm, this same message is just echoed over and over again. And even Paul, as we get to later, repeats the same message when dealing with the Hebrews. So he said, be strong and of good courage and do it. What? Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not. Listen how much it is. So now when you get ready to do anything for God, the first thing you got to have is some courage and strength. Right? Because in the middle, even like now, if you look at a church like this night, if we didn't have confidence in God, you'd get discouraged in this way. Amen. Where's everybody at? I don't know where they are, but I know where I'm at. Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So my thankfulness to God is not dependent on anybody else, but I just want to render unto God for all of his benefits unto me. So you have to have strength and courage. Amen. So many people are so especially saints that have been saved a long time. They've allowed the wiles, the wears and tears of life to wear them down to the point that they don't know if God can help them or not. That's a sad state when you get to the point where you think God will let you down. So David is telling Solomon, he said, now you have a great task ahead of you. Amen. We have a great task, especially in light of all that's going on in the world today. We need God's help. Can we say amen? We need God's strength in order to make it. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast. God's going to be with you till you finish. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Amen. To the end. Finish all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conduct be without greed. That's what it really means. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Means let your conduct be without greed. Always desiring to have more money. Money will mess you up when you hunger for money. Now we need money to survive, but money should not be your motivating force, a factor in the decision making. It should always be God. He said, and be content with what? Such things as you have. Then I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5 is really a modified quotation of Deuteronomy 31:6. Now the word for forsake is ekatalipo. The translation of this promise in Greek yields further insight. The Greek word is a combination of three separate words, and meaning a place. Now let's see what God is saying. And meaning a place, kata meaning down for emphasis, and lipo meaning to leave behind. Therefore we get ekatalipo, left down in a place. The full sense is to abandon by leaving behind, and God will never abandon us. God will never leave us behind. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now we can see that the verse really emphasizes the same idea twice, because deserting and forsaking both means abandoning in some place. God is very clear about this. He wants us to see how important his promise is, so he doubles it up. He will never, ever quit on us. Leave us down in the dumps, abandon us to some awful place. He is not going away, no matter what we might feel. Amen. Well, how do you stay strong enough? How do you keep the mind to do this? You have to be strong enough of good courage. Because if you begin to do the Peter and look around at the winds of adversity, you will begin to sink. But it's so important today. We want to keep our eyes focused on who? Jesus. Our strength, our help comes from the Lord. Number two, God will never, ever quit on us. How many believe that? God will never, ever quit on us. Matthew 28:20, this is Jesus as he resurrected. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have. And I believe that's how in the church we mess up so much. We pick and choose what we want to obey. But Jesus tells him, say, listen, I've taught you a lot, but you need to keep it all. Amen. Because if you, the scripture says, if you're guilty in one point, you're guilty in all. So if we don't want to be guilty, we got to observe all that he has said. He says, if you do what I tell you, then lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. He can say amen to that. Amen. He said, but in order for me to be with you fully, you have to do what I've told you to do. And I believe if we would just stop for a minute and just do an inner inspection, we know personally if we are doing all that God has asked us to do, what things have happened in life that caused us to get maybe off track or sidetracked from God's purpose for us, amen? God will never leave us down in the dumps or abandon us to some awful place. You talk to people on a regular basis and they feel, they give you the impression. They feel as though God has let them down. Amen, that God has abandoned them. Look at my life, look at my condition. If God is real, yes, and God is faithful, yes, God is just waiting to see what we're going to do. Remember he told Israel, he said, I allowed you to hunger. I allowed you to go through hardship. But you missed the blessing, even in your hardship and hungering. He said, your clothes didn't wax old, and the shoes didn't wear out on your feet. So you missed the blessing because you complained too much. If you would have just started thanking me, you would have saw all that I've done. For 40 years, you wore the same things that they didn't wear. That's a miracle in itself. How do we know that God won't abandon us to some awful place? Philippians 1:6. Being confident in this thing, that he, being confident in this one very thing, that he which had, has God begun a good work? Yes. The day he went down in Jesus' name and came up speaking in tongues, God's work had already begun. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So God is not a failure. God never starts anything and quits or give up. So if God doesn't fail and we don't fulfill his purpose or the call of God, the call God has on our life, who went? It wasn't God. Amen. So a lot of times people are blaming their situations on God when the problem all along is them. Can you imagine a miracle of getting manna every morning? You don't have to go out and do nothing. God collected and they missed it. And even then, they didn't want to obey God. God said, listen, you collected on 6 days, but the seventh day don't go out because that's the Sabbath. Honor the Sabbath, keep the Sabbath holy. And then, but before that, he said, listen, all I want you to do is obey me. I want you to trust me. I want you to know you can depend on me. So I want you to go out and get the manna, only get enough when you need one day. He said, don't say nothing. Unless it's going to turn to worms and sting. What did they do? They didn't trust him. They kept him, and what happened? Turned the worms and sink. Amen. 6 days. On the sixth day, God said, now listen, you can keep it overnight. Will you trust me? And now that next day, some of them went out looking for it, but it wasn't there. But the ones that trusted God, he kept it, and it didn't stink, and it didn't turn to worms. Why? Because you can trust God. If God, we should bank on that. Amen. We can trust God all the way till the end. And I love that story of the manna, right? Because when God sets up the ark and the mercy seat and the ark that they carried the mercy seat in the ark they put Aaron's rod, the butter, and manna. They kept from generation to generation. Isn't that a miracle in itself? That manna didn't change. God said, this is a testimony. Well, how come it didn't work, didn't turn the worms and stink away all? Because God said it. And that's all it took. What a mighty God we serve. God is not going away, no matter how others may forsake us. And Paul said in my first answer, no man stood with me. We don't need anybody. If you got Jesus, you got more than enough. Paul said, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray to God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord Lord, thank you. Right? Sometimes we need to stop looking for people to be with us. As long as we got the Lord with us, that's all you need. Paul said, they all forsook me, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me. And because the Lord stood with me, he what? Strengthened me. So you look around and people are getting weaker and weaker and falling away from the faith. You know why? Because they took their confidence, their trust, their hope out of God and put it in people. And the minute you do that, you will fail. Because you can be assured no matter how long or how faithful people try to be, they will let you down. Amen. So Paul said, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And many of the historians believe when he says this, at that time what Nero would do, he would take the Christians into the amphitheater, and he would feed them to lions. The lions would have the mastery of them. But some kind of way, when he went to feed Paul, Paul was another Daniel. The Lord came and shut the lion's mouth. And God delivered Paul out of the mouth of the lion. Why? Because the Lord stood with him. Man cannot deliver you from a lion. Right? Because the lion, the Bible said, would have his mastery of all. But because Paul's confidence was in God, God did not let him down. Just like Daniel, God did not let him down. From the time of Moses to the end of the New Testament, God promised us the same. God said, you can count on, isn't that a wonderful blessing? Yeah. Amen. We go into operation, we don't count on the doctors, we count on God. Amen. You go into operation, you got to go to the anesthesiologist, you have to go through so many processes to get to the operation. So you need God. Amen. Some people have come out of the operation successfully and then died in recovery. You need God. Amen. So our dependency is not on man, but it is on God. His promises have been the same throughout from Genesis to the New Testament. God promises the same. He said, you can count on me. I am with you. I am faithful. I will not forsake thee. Now, I'm sure you all can find your own scriptures on faithfulness, but I just tried to find something about God being faithful in the New Testament, because it says from the Old Testament to the New Testament, he's faithful. So I just found these. We know that it says in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that God is faithful. I believe it's also 1 Corinthians 1:6, we say God is faithful. There are so many scriptures about God being faithful. Amen. We should never question God's faithfulness. Can we say amen? Amen. But Deuteronomy 7:9 says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. The what? Lord, thank you for being faithful, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and so God always stays faithful, but what makes us feel as though God's not faithful? When we stop keeping his commandments. Because when we don't keep his commandment, though there are consequences to not keep his commandment. God cannot be faithful to unfaithfulness. God is only faithful to faithfulness. So when we become unfaithful, God is not faithful, then we say, well, why is God doing this? God said, I'm not doing this. I cannot change. Whereby two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to tell a lie. Right? So when God said, if you do this, you have to pay the consequences, God cannot change. Amen? So when we're not faithful, when we don't honor God, God said, well, then you have to receive the consequences of not being faithful. Amen? So God did not change, but God can't bless us in our unfaithfulness. When he returns, he's going to say, well done, thy good and unfaithful servant. Right? So God is looking for what? Faithfulness. Amen? So he says, covenant with mercy to them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. You know what wavering really means? Wavering means you doubt God. To waver means you doubt God. One minute you say God can, the next minute you say God can't. One minute you say God will, and then you say God won't. That's wavering. God can't bless you because you're saying that God is not faithful. So doubt is saying, what doubt really means or wavering really means is you can't have confidence in God. Amen. That's what wavering means. You don't have confidence in God. How many of us have confidence in God?
Yes.
Well, if God has told you something, bank on it. No matter what it looks like, you got to have confidence in God. In Revelation 19:11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him, see that sat upon him was called?
Faithful and true.
Lord, thank you. He was faithful and true. And in righteousness, he doth judge and? But he was called what? Faithful and true. So saints, let's just grab hold of God's word. You know, the thing is, I've heard a lot of the old time preachers say, especially when things aren't going right, you can talk to God and say, well, God, this is what your word says. I've been doing what you told me to do, so I don't care what the outcome looks like, your word says it's not going to be like that. That's our confidence. Why? Because God is, we can always depend on God, and God won't ever let us down. Amen? God is with us in our moments of adversity, and he will not fail or forsake us. So God is with us when? In our moments of adversity. Adversity comes not to overthrow us, because many are the afflictions of the righteous. But God will deliver him out of some of them. What will he do? He deliver them out of them? So your adversity is a chance, is an opportunity for you to glorify God. Adversity is an opportunity for us to glorify God. How we know we keep going here? Let's keep going. With his strength to back us, we can be courageous. Our success does not depend on frail, broken spirits, but rather on the mighty God of heaven. We're dependent on what?
The mighty God.
Our success is not dependent on what somebody writing in a book. Amen. It's not dependent on a lot of these preachers that are preaching philosophical messages. But our success is dependent upon the God of heaven. Amen. A couple of nights ago, we some of us get together. We were going over some of the leaders in the Christian communities are nothing more than those that the devil had put in place to sidetrack the saints, because they're preaching positive message. A positive message leaves God out, right? Positive message leaves God out. Because God has to be the source. So when you can think positively without God.
Yes. Yes.
So positive thinking does not include God. It's just a will of the mind that's not including God. And I don't want to mention names, but we went over some of those that we have listened to for years have been brought out. Amen. So we need to be careful what we entertain. We need to be careful what we allow to come to us, because we don't want someone putting a negative spirit on us. Amen? So a lot of church people just believe everything. The Bible says, try the spirit. You have to ask yourself, now if John put that in the book, it has to be in the book for a reason. Right? Try the spirit to see whether they be of what? God or not, because there are many antichrist spirits that are going out into the world. So if he said try the spirit, don't accept, embrace everything that you hear, okay? You need to try that spirit. But Romans 8:31 says, this is how we know God won't forsake us, God won't let us down, and God, as long as God is with us, we will be successful. What shall we then say to these things? If who be for us? Forget about the mayor, the president, the policeman, anybody else. If God be for us, who then? If who be for us?
God.
2 Corinthians 12:9. This is Paul, and we know this is when Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And Paul said, God, because of the abundance of the revelation, God allowed me to allow Satan to buffet me with a thorn in the flesh that I might not become exalted above measure. So this trial was a humbling experience to keep Paul humble. So he went to the Lord and prayed three times for the Lord to take this thorn away from his flesh. Verse 9 said, and he said unto me, my grace is
sufficient for thee.
Y'all remember the brother? I ain't gonna mention his name. Remember the brother? He said, I don't want no grace. Y'all remember? Yeah, I got to mention his first name. His first name was Fred. He said, I don't want grace. You do want grace. Grace is God's help when you need it. Amen? He said, I don't want no grace. You do want grace. But when God told Paul, my grace is sufficient, Paul did not debate with God. Amen. Paul did not argue with God. A lot of times when God tells us, I got your back, I got you covered, we go to God and begin to make our own complaints. Place our own stipulations. We cannot place stipulations on the mighty God of heaven. Can we say amen?
Amen.
He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Why? Because my strength is made in your weakness, I'm strong. You need to be weak so you can see that your dependency has to be on me. That's what God is telling me. I need you to have to go through this because I don't want you to be dependent on yourself. I want you to be dependent on me, God said. Paul said, because your strength is made perfect in my weakness, he said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Why? I want the power of Christ to rest on me. Lord, when I'm weak, then am I strong, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. He said, therefore I take pleasure in. Now, ain't nobody gonna go around and say, I'm taking pleasure in these weaknesses, right? But Paul had an understanding of what the Lord was telling him. He understood that even in my weakness, your grace is with me. Even in my shortcoming, my frailties, God, your grace is with me. He said, because when I'm weak, you're with me, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Amen. So many times we see our trials as a means of overcome, God allowing us to be overcome. The scripture said, Paul bent back in Acts the 14th chapter, confirming the souls of the saints, encouraging them that they shall through much tribulation enter into the what? Kingdom of God. So if he's coming through much tribulation, why do people think they don't have to go through anything? When we go through stuff, that shows that God is with us. Why? Because he brings us out a winner on the other side. Amen? God promises good forever. He will not fail us. He will not leave us. The confident God's word reaches beyond anything we might come up against in this life. The confident what? God's word. Amen. Is going to go, reaches beyond anything that we might come up against in this life. Can we say amen? And Moses called unto Joshua. Let's keep going. And said unto him, in the sight of all Israel. And this is what Moses said, listen, we're going to make this record permanent. And we don't want anyone to say they didn't hear. So he did it in front of all Israel. He said, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Now, the word for fail is rapaha, which means to relax, to let sink, to let go where something has to go, drop in, to withdraw from due to extreme pressure or strong resistance. Right? To do what? To withdraw from due to extreme pressure or strong resistance. God promised not to let us down, allow us to sink, to abandon us, or leave us alone. Especially, And that's why I said, my wife and I was talking, that's why people miss it. When they're under pressure, God doesn't abandon them, they abandon God. When you're under pressure, that's when you're supposed to come out to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, he said, I give you what? Rest. So when people get under pressure, they do the opposite. They go away from God. That's when you need to come to God, when you're under pressure, because God is the only one who can operate in a pressure cooker. He'll take the pressure off of you. So a lot of people in the pressure cooker, and when the pressure gets greater, they need the only one that can take that pressure off. That's God. Amen? So he says, he is not slack or absent in the day of adversity. He is ready to stand by us until death, as we encounter the giants in our path, in the path of our lives. Now he said, don't be dismayed. And now we read dismayed a lot, but and we read David told his son Solomon, don't be dismayed. Moses tell Joshua, don't be dismayed. The scripture says on several occasions, don't be dismayed. But what does dismayed mean? It's the Hebrew word chatat, which means shattered, demoralized by downcast spirit, discouraged, broken to pieces, broken down as fear breaks morale, afraid, loss of courage. That's what dismayed means. Joshua 1:9, he said, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of what? Good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Now this is God repeating it to Joshua. He said, listen, no matter how bad the situation is, you cannot be broken. You can't be discouraged. You can't be shattered. You can't be emotionally shipwrecked and emotionally bankrupt. He said, because if you're like that, if you're dismayed, you can't lead. There's a whole lot of people trying to lead and they're so broken. How can they help somebody else? Elders, pastors get broken. You know, it's sad, the number of pastors that have committed suicide. You know, I don't know their life stories, so I'm not going to judge them in that area. But how can you be dismayed to the point that you're shattered and broken when you have a God on your side? That means you've taken your focus off of God, and you're beginning to look at the circumstances around you. Amen? And I'm afraid there are a whole lot of people, I don't care what the title is, your title does not make you strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It's your life that you live that makes you strong. Just because you're bishop or elder or district elder or pastor or any of this, that does not give you the automatic right to be strong. You have to still put in the time. Amen? So heavenly I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee. How many of us really believe God is with us wherever we go? Amen. Then we should have confidence that God, that we can depend on God all the time, and that God won't ever let us down. Isaiah 41. Now Isaiah, when we first started the church, these are some of the scriptures that the Lord gave me when we first started the church, especially this one. He said, "Fear thou not, for I am." Because you know, in the beginning, we had a whole lot of stuff that made you question if God was with us. You ain't this, you ain't that. I don't need to say all the stuff. You feel that. You know all the stuff that was said. So I was praying one morning. I said, Lord, this is so much is coming. And God took me right to this chapter in Isaiah. So it just happened to be here. I said, wow, that's the scripture God gave me when we first started. You know what God's telling me still? Don't be afraid. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not. You don't allow yourself to be discouraged or broken. Amen. If we came to church tonight with just me and my wife, I still have the same spirit. Because I won't be dismayed. Then it's sad that our others aren't here. They could be here and should be here. And then they wonder why life is not changing. Amen. How can life change when you leave the only one that can change life out? How does that make sense? You want to change, but you leave the changer out. Amen. He said, if I am thy God, I will strengthen thee. So you don't have to be discouraged. God said, listen, you stay in me, I'll strengthen you. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Now, I want to go to 2 Chronicles. We did touch on this on Sunday, but I just want to go through, this is one of those times in Judah's history, because Israel had already been assimilated by the Assyrians and had been scattered throughout all the Gentile nations, amen, because they had set up the golden calf in Samaria, and they had began to worship the golden calf and idols. So God kept warning them over and over again. They wouldn't take heed. So God allowed the enemy to come in. But remember, the reason God allowed Judah to make it, God made David a promise. He said, you will always have a seed on the throne. So that was a promise. So no matter how bad Judah got, God could not completely forsake them, because God promised David that you will have a seed. All right? But this is Jehoshaphat. Now, we're going to go through this about Jehoshaphat and the great host that came against him. And as I said on Sunday, you know who the great host was? His relatives. Right? Because Moab and Ammon were from Lot. And those of Mount Seir were from Esau, were the Edomites. Amen? So they were all relatives. But sometimes your relatives don't understand the spiritual call that God has on your life. They don't understand the promises and the place that God has put you in. So when God blesses you to get in a spiritual place, they'll come and try and take you out. So this is what's happening with Israel and Judah at this time. Ammon, it says, and it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a, listen, there were so many, all they couldn't say nothing, it's just a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazontamar, which is in Gadai. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to do what? So when you're in trouble, we need to do what?
Seek the Lord.
Seek the Lord. And proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the
Lord.
That's an amazing thing. When you're in trouble, how do you go away from the help? Jehoshaphat and all Judah realized, listen, we have no might. We have no power against this great multitude. So we need to employ God's help. Amen. So even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah at Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, before the new court. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest thou not over all the kingdoms of So that's what I'm saying. Sometimes you just got to talk to God. Amen. He's praying. He's talking to God. He said, listen, you're the God of heaven. You rule over all the kingdoms of the heathen. And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that if God be for you, who can be against you? None is able to withstand thee. Are not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary, they and for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this court, house, and in thy presence, for thy name, Lord, we thank you. Thy name is in this house, and cry to thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, now like I said, either the Ammonites and Moab were the offsprings of Lot, and Mount Seir was the Edomite, who was from Esau, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade. He said, listen, Lord, if you wouldn't let us invade, we wouldn't be in this trouble now. You know how we like to say, God, if. You know how we like to say, God, if you had Mary, if you had Martha, if you had. Jesus said, don't you know who I am? I am the resurrection and the power. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Amen. So we don't like to tell God if. We just need to believe his word. Amen. He says, when they came out the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us. Well, what's the problem? To come cast us out of Timon. Lord, you put us here. Now, you can't let man move us where you put us. Hallelujah. God put us here. No man can move us from where God has placed us. Can we just say hallelujah? Which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have
no life.
Listen, if you don't help us, we're finished. That's what he's saying. If you don't help us, Lord, we are finished. The company is too great for us. They come against us, neither know what we want to do, but our eyes. Lord, we bless your name.
Yes.
We don't know what to do, Lord. We can't figure it out, but our eyes are still on you. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Now listen to what he said. Thus saith the Lord unto you. What? I can help you, but you can't be afraid. I can make a way for you, but not if you're afraid. Be not afraid, nor you can't be discouraged. You can't be downtrodden. You can't be broken in spirit. He said, God can help you, but not if you're afraid. And not if you're shattered in spirit. Can we say amen?
Amen.
By reason of this great multitude, far from the battle is not yours. Too many people are getting shattered and broken and afraid because they think they got to fight their own battles. The battle is not yours, but the battle is. Well, when did God answer Jehoshaphat? When he what? Prayed. Right? So in your distress, learn to pray. In your hardship, learn to pray. And even pray, you can just say, well, Lord, I know this is what your word says. God already knows the word. But you can talk to him just like we talk to one another. Say, Lord, this is what your word says. And because I'm standing on your word, God is going to answer you when you use his word. Amen? He always responds to his word. So God said, now listen. He said, you don't need to fight this battle. The battle is not yours, but the battle is who? He said, but I still need you to go forward like you're going to fight. In other words, you can't just become complacent and lazy and sit home and do nothing. He said, I am going to fight, but you still got to do something to show me that you believe what I'm telling you to do. He said, so tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need fighting this battle. Well, why are we going out? Because God said it.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Well, he said, you don't have to fight the battle. He said, but I still need you to go. Because you're doing it in what? Obedience. So a lot of times we say, well, God's going to fight the battle. I don't have to do nothing. No, you still have to do something. God's going to have you do something because God doesn't have any lazy soldiers. God doesn't have anyone that's just going to sit back. The Bible says, in your hardness as a what? Good soldier, Jesus Christ. So God wants us to do something. Amen? You should not be fighting this battle. Set yourself. So you got to be still. Right? Even when you see the enemy coming at you rushing, he said, set yourselves. I mean, stand firm. Don't be dismayed. Don't be afraid. As they're coming, just stand there and stand down. Set yourselves. Stand ye still and see salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Once again,
fear not.
Nor You see how in your hardship you can't have fear? In your challenges you can't be discouraged and shattered and broken and downtrodden and oppressed and depressed, because that's giving in to the adversary. Amen? When you get like that, you're giving it to the adversary. So you can't get like that. I need you not to be afraid nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and what? Know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now think about it. Selah. Take a pause. Amen. In your hardship, take a Selah. Take a spiritual pause. You know what you're going to reflect? That when they take our Selah, they reflect back over what God has said and the victories he's already given them. So I need you to take a Selah. All right? In Exodus 14:9, we know this is when Israel comes to, God allowed Israel to get to a point. I'm not going to read all this. Let me just say, God allowed Israel to, when he sent them back down, he allowed them to go to a point where they were hemmed in. Right? Because they had the mountains on both sides, so they couldn't flee to the left or to the right. The Red Sea was in front of them, and Pharaoh was closing in behind. So they had nowhere to go. So they looked and said, Lord, what are we going to do with this great host that is coming against us? All right? I don't want to read portions of this. Let me just pick through this. All right? I don't want to read it all. I want to read the part I supposed to have highlighted. Let's start at verse 13. All right? This is when God is fighting for you. All you have to do is just obey him. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians, whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again. Why? For the Lord shall fight for you. Ye shall hold your peace. God said, I need you. I know it looked like it's overwhelming. It looked like they're going to attack you. He said, but I need you to hold your peace. And God said, now remember, the angel of the Lord, with the angel of the Lord by the cloud went before them in the daytime, and at night he went, there was a pillar of fire behind them. All right? So the pillar of cloud is leading them in the daytime. But now they're in trouble. So what does God do? God repositions himself. Thank you, Lord. When we're in trouble, God said, listen, I know what I was doing. Now I'm going to reposition myself, because I'm only going to stand between you and the enemy. Can we say hallelujah? Verse 19, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea apart. Lord, thank you. God said, you ain't going to be slipping in mud. I want to do this. When God's going to do something, he does it in perfection. On dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea. Midst of the sea. Even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their. Remember, he said, you don't have to worry about it. Just go. I got this. Right? When you believe God and move in obedience, God can bless you, God can help you. God can deliver you. But if God tells you to move and you just sit there, God says, wait a minute, I can't do anything till you do what I told you to do. Can we say thank you, Jesus? Amen. Look to the host of Egypt and troubled the Egyptians and took off their chariot wheels, that they dragged them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel for what? We're in trouble now. Right? Israel ain't did nothing. But who fight? The Lord. It's fighting for them. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Fighting for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea turned to his strength. When the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And that's what I like. When God does something, he said, I'm going to fight for you, he don't leave no prisoners. Right? When God's fighting, he said, I'm going to finish this deal. And the waters returned and covered the chariots, and the horsemen, and all the hosts of Pharaoh, they came into the sea after them, and there remained
not one of them.
Why? God said, I'm fighting the battle. Amen. We're going to get to the next one. Now, Jehoshaphat, we're going to keep going. They're going to go into the fight. We're going to find out when they begin to fight, there's not one of them left. God doesn't leave any prisoners, because he's the God of his word. Now, verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. So you see in their distress, they still had a mind to do what? Worship. They were another Job. Lord, I'm in trouble, but I still got to worship. Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm going to worship you. My worship says, I have confidence in God. My worship says, I'm not looking at the circumstances, the conditions. I'm not even looking at that great host, but I'm worshiping because my confidence is in God. Lord, we thank you. And the Levites, and the children of the Kohathites, and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice. So they're worshiping and praising God. Why? In the middle of the battle. Because they had confidence in God. Amen. When things are going bad, praise him anyhow. Worship him anyhow. All right? And they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be. You're going to be firm. You're going to be settled. Nothing's going to move you. You're going to be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out. Wait a minute. You fight the war. But when you praise and worship, before you go fight, God said, listen, I'm going to respond to this because the Lord inhabits the praise of his people. Can we say thank you, Jesus? So they pray. And the singers are out before the army. Can you imagine the Moabites, the Ammonites, and those of the Edomites? They look like, what is wrong with these people? We get ready to fight a war, and they got people out here singing and praising the Lord. They didn't realize God was coming. Right? God was coming. Why? Because when you begin to praise God in the middle of your circumstance, God says, I'm in your presence. I come the way you are. Will you worshiping me? Worship. It opens the entrance for God to come in. Amen. Even in the midst of a hard time, can we say praise the Lord? So they began to say praise the Lord for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, God did what? But God didn't sit there and push them, so they began to what? Praise and worship God. All right? So I don't care how bad your situation is, praise him anyhow. Amen. And God was sending the bushmen. God was sending help against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were coming against Judah, and they were smitten. Now listen to this. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against. So first, God says in that bushmen, they don't know what's going on with all this praising and worshiping. So Moab, because remember Moab and Ammon, when they got those of Mount Seir to help them, when God sends the ambushment, they believe that God sent some angels down, and they just got confused and said, wait a minute, Mount Seir is turning against us. So Ammon and Moab began to fight against Mount Seir. Then they destroy them. Then after they destroy Mount Seir, Ammon and Moab start fighting each other. Boy, God didn't, all Israel is doing is praising the Lord. His mercy endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Right? And God just began to move. It says, and when Judah came, 24th, and when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies, fallen to the earth, and listen, they destroyed him. They destroyed each other. All Judah hadn't even lift a sword or nothing. Something about praise. Something about worship. In your heart, you praise him. In your difficulty, worship him. You ain't got to do nothing. The enemy can be all around you. When you begin to praise the Lord, God says, you know what? I'm about to send some confusion in this. They're not going to realize they're going to fight each other until the point that they destroyed each other. You ain't did nothing but still singing and praising him. Amen. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in what? In abundance. Both riches, the dead body, and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could. And there was so much. Listen, God fought the battle, but they reaped the benefits. Let God fight the battle, you will be blessed. And they were, listen, this is how much stuff they had. It took them 3 days. Right? You know, this had to be a serious multitude that was coming against them. Make the equation. It was so much stuff, it took them 3 days to gather. Right? Because there was so many of them that were coming against Israel. But in the midst of the trouble, God gave them some blessings. Because they praised him. Amen? And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth, they still get this stuff. They assembled themselves together in the valley of Baraka. I mean, that's a blessing, right? So they got blessed. Baraka, I mean, you got to bless the Lord, right? Why are you blessing the Lord? You see all God has done for me? You see what God, the way God has made for me? I didn't do nothing but praise the Lord, and he gave me all of this. I can't help but bless the Lord. Amen. I don't look at the trouble. I look at the blessing. Baraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Baraka unto this day. Then they returned every man to Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go against Jerusalem with what? God has blessed us. I got joy, for the Lord has made them to rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harp and trumpets, unto the house of the Lord, and the fear of God was on. Listen, when God is with you, everybody knows that. Remember when God started taking those chariots out, the Egyptians said, oh, we're in trouble. The Lord's fighting for them. Right? So when he goes out and destroys Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, this great host, everybody recognizes this. The Lord is with them. They heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him, right, because he had trust and confidence in God. And Solomon close here, the steps of a good man are what? And he, so when you allow God to order your step, God said, I take pleasure in your obedience. So I'm going to delight in your way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Well, how do we know? Because I've been young. Now, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So we can always depend on God. And be confident in this one thing, God won't ever let us down. Amen. Learn to praise the Lord. You know what most people do when they're in trouble? They look ugly and mean. Seriously, even saints, when they're in trouble, ooh, I don't know what you're going through. You got to praise him. Don't let people know what's going on, because God will respond to your worship. God will respond to your praise. Amen. You don't have to lift a hand up. You don't have to say a word. God said, I'll fight your battles for you. Can we say amen? All right, now do we have any questions, any comments before we dismiss? Any questions, any comments?